Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And, I'm
going to let you pick. Well, what direction do we start with now? Do we start with,
is our offense back? Because everybody's claiming our offense is back. Do we talk about the big elephant in the room, the fact that Brandon Graham has unretired and he is back to finish out this season with us? I'll let you pick, man. Which way you want to go?
I guess start with Brandon Graham, get that out of the way, and then Okay. Go into the game.
Okay, let's get into it then. My initial thoughts, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. When the rumbling started, I was kind of he's not coming back, right? Yesterday, when Adam Schefter, broke the news, I'm not going to lie. Initially, I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, I don't know.
Right.
Because what I don't want to happen, I don't want this to be a Brett Favre situation where BG's out, then he's back in, then he's out, then he's back in. I don't want that, okay? He's already an all-time great Eagle. I didn't know, man. I was like, I don't know. And then I saw the post, him signing the contracts and BG talking about he's back to, chase that third trophy. And I'm not gonna lie, immediately I got hyped. I know Vic Fangio is excited because he didn't want Brandon Graham to retire in the first place because he kind of retired on an injury riddle season. First off, welcome back, BG, obviously. Zadarius Smith retiring after three games, that hurt us. Noah Smith getting hurt. He's on IR right now, so we don't know when we'll get him back. Our edge play has been a little suspect this season so far. I'm not going to lie. We've spoken about that many times. BG being back, it's a welcome addition, right? He's going to bring back the energy and the leadership that we desperately need. He's not going to fix all our problems, though. I'll say that right now. He's not going to fix all our problems. Quarterback two is still a big issue. And, on that note, I'll say shout out to Adoree Jackson. He played as well as he could have. Against Minnesota, he got hurt, and thankfully he was able to walk off on his own power, and he seems to be, getting the right treatment for that, so praise up to him. But yeah, welcome back, Brandon Graham. We'll see how this goes. I'm not getting too high, I'm not getting too low, because, he played last season, but
it's been a while.
It's been a while, right? He claims he's been in football shape, he's been working out like crazy, and I'm sure he has, so... Yeah, man, we'll see if BG comes back and he's the BG of even last season. I'll take it, right? He was literally our best edge player last season, really. He was right up there with Josh Sweat and those guys. So, yeah, man, welcome back, BG. I hope you can contribute a lot. I know you can. I know he can contribute a lot to the field, off the field, just in terms of his leadership and his energy. And hopefully, on the field, he can stabilize that edge spot opposite of now Jahad Campbell, which I just want to say I basically called what was going to happen with that, because that's exactly what Vic Fangio did. He dropped Jahad Campbell down the edge and had Nakobe starting opposite of Zach Bond. So hopefully BG can, give Jahad the ropes, Jalen Hunt, those guys, because even Noah Smith when he gets back, right? Like those guys, because in the end for me, right, like Jalen Hunt, the Jahad Campbell, the Noah Smiths, those guys, like, they have to take the torch at some point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they have to. It can't just be BG coming back, retiring, coming back. It can't be that, man. So, hopefully, BG coming back for this last run. And I will say that I do hope it is his last run. Hopefully, those guys can,
follow under his wing and soak up as much information, as much knowledge as they can. So next season, when it's their time, and even like this season, right? Like they could just pick up where he left off and feed off of him. And, you know, our front seven can get back to what they were doing last year. So, yeah, man, I'm excited to have BG back, but I'm cautiously optimistic about what he will do.
Makes sense. Yeah, like you said, it's been a while. Like we both said, it's been a while coming off of a retirement. And it's pretty much like a low-risk, high-reward situation. He's going to come in, play where he can. If he does well, great. If he doesn't really make too much impact, it's not like it'll hurt the team much more. So I'm not mad at the move at all.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, I mentioned it before. You play in Minnesota this week. First of all, shout out to Jalen Hurts. Put up a perfect passer rating. That's my quarterback. I'll say before I say it again, he will probably end up being the most polarizing player in NFL history. It is what it is. When my quarterback is on, he is on like nobody's business. And so I'll touch on that first. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith went well over 100 yards this game. I think what I'm watching and what I'm realizing now is A.J. Brown in this version of our offense, he is not going to be the volume catch guy. He's just going to be the big play guy. Because every play Jalen hit it for, it was a splash play. It was an explosive play. The first touchdown, fourth down, man. He threw that thing up and A.J. ran Josh Metellus out of there, bro. So, like, when you look at that versus Devontae Smith, right? His route tree is, I don't want to say way bigger, but it seems like it is, right? Like, his route tree in our offense, the way Kevin Patullo is calling it right now, Devontae runs a lot more different routes. He moves around a lot more. It just seems like Devontae is the number one read on a lot of these. So, and I think AJ, he's fine with that as long as he's getting those chances to make the explosive plays.
Right.
Right? Like early on, he wasn't getting those chances because Jalen was forced to get it at bad times. But I mean, this game, it was perfect harmony. Just hitting Devontae, hitting AJ, hitting Dallas when needed to, just all over. He had a perfect passer rating. Like Jalen Hurts played a perfect game throwing the football. Is Philly's offense back yet? No. God, no. Saquon Barkley still has not gotten the ball enough.
Right.
We have to be able, like, and second half, that's when we really need to start feeding Saquon, especially when we're throwing the ball up and down the field on Minnesota like we were. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if Kevin Patullo's scared to just get Saquon the ball more. I don't know what it is at this point. I don't know.
Right.
But no, our offense is not back yet. All right. Until Saquon is humming along, offensive line is humming along, and the passing game is very complimentary and humming along with that in harmony. No, we're not back. Yes, we played a pretty damn good game against Minnesota. Defense played way better. You know, Jalen Hunt got that pick six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were playing against Carson Wentz. But, I mean, you know, Quinyon played. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, those guys were still out there. TJ Hawkinson was still out there. And for the record, I'm just going to say this right now. That was not a touchdown. TJ Hawkinson knows that wasn't a touchdown. His hands literally.
They came completely off of the ball.
Literally. Like, I don't know why he's still talking about that now. Like, bro, you didn't catch it. It's like, I get
thinking that in the moment, but after you see the replay,
come on, man. Like, stop.
He caught it, and he let go of the ball, and then
he's like this.
Isn't it because had he just maintained possession when it touched the ground, it would have been a catch. But it touched the ground,
right,
and then he completely let go of it and then re-caught it.
Right.
And so at that point, yeah, that's
it's not a catch. Come on, man. So stop it with that nonsense, please. But, yeah, man, like overall, you know, I'm happy we're back in the win column. Team played well overall. But like I said, man, we have got to make Saquon Barkley a focal point of the offense. I just need him Matulo to watch. I need him to watch Detroit. I need him to watch Atlanta. I need him to watch San Fran. They get Bijan, Jameer, and Christian McCaffrey involved damn near every play.
It makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It just, Saquon Barkley is too talented. He's too gifted. He is Saquon Barkley. He's 2K say. We got to give him the ball more. Flat out. We have to give him the ball more. Because Jalen Hurts, newsflash for you, I'm going to say it. He's not going to put up a perfect passer rating every game. He's not going to do it. He's not. And even if he does, if we can't run the football when we need to run the football, it's going to hurt us down the stretch anyway. So
Yeah, man. I'm happy we got back in the win column, but there is still a lot of work to be done. Quarterback two, I'm still very worried about that spot. You know, Keely Rico had to go in the game a little bit, and I was scared.
Yeah, for sure.
I was scared. So I'm gonna keep saying this now. Like,
we brought BG back.
Can we go get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and put him in the slot, please? Because at this point, I'm watching the Denver Broncos. You got Riley Moss on the outside. To me, we have a better white corner in Cooper DeGee.
Yeah. Moss has been getting cooked.
Right. I want Cooper to play outside now because Cooper DeGee could absolutely be an outside corner. He's been doing it in the base defense, in the base package all season. He did it at Iowa. I know he's a dog at nickel, bro. I know. But unfortunately, right now, we need him outside more than we need him inside. Because we have a rotation of guys that can play nickel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got Andrew Bakuba. We brought back Marcus Epps. He can play a little bit in there. We got Mac McWilliams. Like, we have guys that can hold down the fort in nickel. I need Cooper outside. I need it. Until proven otherwise, I need him to stay outside opposite of Quinyon. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I don't even know if we can.
I think we can bring back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson because he got traded, got cut, signed with another team, and they got cut again. So I think we can bring him back. I'm here for it. I was talking to somebody else about it, and they were like, nah, you don't want him. I was like, yes, I do. Like, he played his best ball with us. Like, I absolutely want Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back. So, hell yeah, man. If you hear me, please, like, yeah, at least give him a call. I'm sure whatever issues y'all had, y'all can figure it out. He's not in a good position either right now. He's just trying to, you know, gain form.
Yeah.
Right, you know, get his name back out there in good graces. So, yeah, hell, I'm here for a reunion for the third time. I am. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, that would make a lot of sense given y'all seem to need. I mean,
right.
My biggest takeaway from the game is something that was also very prevalent in the Cowboys and Commanders game, but on the opposite spectrum, it is how important chemistry between a quarterback and a wide receiver is. I think if Carson Wentz had half as much chemistry
with
Justin Jefferson as he did with Jordan Addison,
yeah,
they have a much better chance of winning that game.
Right.
And, I mean, I just think that was his biggest problem. There were a lot of times.
Well, he was making bad plays, too.
Yeah, he played in the first half, I think.
Yeah. Well, really?
It got them in the hole. And then I think he played a pretty solid game, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
I think that is just the only.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The bad play, they were the turnover plays he had, and then the throw, majority is incompletions were attempts to Justin Jefferson, just because I think they just were not on the same page. And I think in terms of y'all's offense, I wouldn't say it's bad yet. I mean, I think that's exactly what people have been asking for on one end, in terms of, like, especially with the whole A.J. Brown thing, getting the ball, throwing the ball more.
Right.
And I think it's definitely a step in the right direction for y'all. Y'all would just have to, one, get Saquon involved, and then do that consistently for the offense to be back.
Exactly. I can't just say after one game, like, we're back. I can't say that, especially after one game where, we passed the ball amazing. We threw it all over the field and everything. AJ and Devontae got rolling, but where's Saquon, man? Like, I'm still asking for that. We're still asking for that. So I'm not gonna say that. And we got the Giants coming up this week. So hopefully we can. We'll get into the Giants in a little bit, but, like, hopefully we can, one, get our revenge, and two, like, put it all together for the first time this season. We'll see. Yeah, I don't disagree with you about Carson Wentz. I will say, though, Quinyon, he did a hell of a job on Justin Jefferson for the most part. I mean, hell, the only play he gave up was to Jordan Addison. And that was on a comeback route. They kept, those out routes, dude. Those out routes were pissing me off. That's all they were running. Yeah, I think Justin Jefferson,
I think for him this season, I don't know how much work he really got in with J.J. McCarthy heading into the year or Carson Wentz, obviously.
But I'm still, you know, I'm still excited for when J.J. McCarthy gets back and to see how they look, if you know, fully healthy, right? That whole team and the whole offense, really. But yeah, you know, we got the dub. It is what it is. Let's go ahead and talk about y'all's game, man. I mean, obviously, I thought y'all were going to steamroll them even with Jaden Daniels, but he got hurt. He got hurt, what, the second quarter?
I think it might have been the third.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I watched it a little bit, but I knew it was like, first of all, no Terry McLaurin, no Deebo Samuel, no Noah Brown. I don't even know who he was throwing you out there.
I don't even think he knew who he was throwing you out there. I mean, it showed very quickly.
I will say, I mean, we're still the worst defense in the league, and the guys guarding them, you won't be able to name those guys either.
Yeah, like your guys, the corner? Yeah, I mean, shoot.
Other than Deron Bland.
Detroit, I mean, they had that game last night, man. They had some guys I never heard of. They had some no-names out there.
No, there were...
Did Kyrie Elam start again?
Kyrie Elam.
Deron Bland. And I saw they had Deron back in the slot.
Okay, we were starting Elijah Clark and Traquese Bridges. At corner.
No names.
On top with Deron Bland.
No names.
So while they were definitely injured offensively, but defensively they have not. They weren't missing too many players. And once again, our offense showed that they are arguably the best offense in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
I think that it was... I mean, I think that especially now, we're in the mentality that if we're going to win games, which is we're going to have to put our foot on the gas, score as many points as we possibly can. And they proved that with just their decision. They won the toss, decided to receive, and went right out, scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I think, me personally, I think that I never really, even fully healthy, I've been saying since last season, I was never – too high on the Commanders.
They overachieved last year. We both said that.
Because when Craig, going into the season, I thought they were my sleeper team, but I still, even though they achieved, they kind of made that true, being the sleeper team, making it to the NFC Championship game. I don't think that, I think I was wrong in the sense that, not that they were the sleeper team, just in the sense that I thought they were going to be a good sleeper team. I don't think they were that good last season, to be completely honest. I said that even, I mean, if you just looking at their last season, they lost to Cooper Rush and should have got swept by Cooper Rush. But they were, I mean, wearing a dogfight in the last game and then got like a last second touchdown.
Yeah.
And I meant to do this and to have this information going into the game, but I know for a fact it's happened twice that teams in one, like in seasons that Dak Prescott was out for the season with an injury. If there was a team that lost to Cooper Rush that we played the very next season,
yes,
they got completely dominated by the Dak Prescott, like Dallas Cowboys. Just happened in Washington. I'll try to have that information. I thought about that and meant to have it, but it never happened again with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Beat them with Cooper Rush, and then Dak came back and beat them 40-3.
Yeah.
And another game was 44-22, so it made it, it's still a 22-point win.
No, they steamrolled them, yeah.
It was, at one point, it was like 41-6 or something. It was really bad. So credit to just to get this out of the way now before I keep going back to our offense, but credit to our defense. They definitely stepped up and played a lot better than they have all season.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus decided to run man in this game. At this point, I'm thinking...
He likes grits after all.
At this point, I'm thinking his beef wasn't with running man, wasn't with grits. It was specifically with Trayvon Diggs, who... He did not play. He was out with a concussion that he suffered at home.
Do we know how?
There's no official reports on
the exact. You made a comment.
Yeah, I think he's out of here. I think we will be traded.
That's
once I finish talking about the game, I guess we can talk about because there's been a lot of trade buzz going around with the Cowboys, but I do want to finish talking about the game before we get that. But I do think Trayvon Diggs will be traded. But I think that. Yeah, we want to give the defense a lot of credit for stepping up. I think they came right out. We scored a touchdown. They got a three and out. They might have got a first down. They got off the field pretty quickly. Now, credit to Tress Way. He pinned the us right on the one, and then we ended up giving getting a safety on the first play, trying to run it out of the end zone. But the defense, they stepped up all throughout the game. Jaden Daniels, he did get injured.
Yeah.
But the play he got injured was a strip sack fumble by Kenneth Murray, with not a good play by him by, you know, sacking quarterback, getting the fumble. Still hoping for a speedy recovery for Jaden Daniels, not giving him congratulations for that. And then Deron Bland, king of the pick sixes in this current NFL.
Oh, did he get a pick six?
Yeah, and which is, you know, poetry and just emotion, just seeing as the record he broke last season was, or not last season, in
two seasons ago, yeah,
was against the Washington Commanders. So, you know, want to give them credit for, you know, stepping up and doing exactly.
Who threw the pick six, Jaden?
No, it was Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And it was a terrible play. I mean, he was just running all around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just threw it up to no one. But, you know, Dromlin, he's got good hands, good return ability.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like we said, want to give some quick shout-outs to the defense. But overall, it was just the offense.
Steamrolling.
I mean,
do their thing.
Giving, I'll call him what CD calls him, Fodak Prescott.
Fodak Prescott.
Like Fodak Black. Oh. I think that's an amazing nickname.
CD's, oh, he's funny, and bro. So,
and then they welcome back CD Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
He missed three games. Came back with over 100 yards, 5 catches, and a touchdown.
Man, was cooking Marshawn Lattimore.
But Marshawn Lattimore was getting cooked all day by both CeeDee Lamb and George
Pickens. I said this before. Like, I never saw it with Marshawn Lattimore like that. I never thought he was like that good of a corner in the first place.
I saw it. I mean, I just kind of old now.
Not consistently enough. You know his coverage grade was?
In that game?
Yeah.
Probably like 0. It'd be negative. It's
29.2.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It was not a good day for him.
Like, he just gets bullied. Like, yeah. Mike Evans bullied him. George Pickens bullied him.
Yeah.
He just gets bullied.
And that brings me to the point I brought up I was saying in y'all game, how much chemistry plays an impact. I think George Pickens and Dak Prescott's chemistry right now is on another level.
Never seen George Pickens look like this.
You never want to say an injury is a good thing, but maybe CeeDee Lamb missing those games, the diamond in the rough in that whole situation was Dak and George Pickens being able to build some of that chemistry.
Right.
Because at the beginning of the season, it wasn't just terrible, but it wasn't this good.
Yeah.
I mean, that George Pickens, he's tied for leading the league in touchdowns. He has about like 500 yards, and if you take away the yards he's had that he's drawn on pass interference penalties, he'd be leading the league in yards right now. I mean, it's been...
Having a great season.
A dream come true. I mean, this has been one of the best trades that the Cowboys have made. And I don't know how long. We've never had a player come and make this type of impact. I saw a stat. He was one of like 5 players to come in and like have this many touchdowns in his first 6 years.
Do you like the George Pickens move more than Amari?
At this point, yeah. Especially just seeing as what it meant for the team. One, we traded a first round pick for Amari. And we were just in a position where we had no other receivers. Yeah. We needed somebody to come in and be the one. The addition George Pickens brings to our team, being that quote-unquote number 2 guy, but who's capable, who it just clearly proved he's capable in that wide receiver 1.
Yes.
It's just a much better scenario for the team. And, I mean, like I said, I couldn't be any happier with this trade.
Yeah.
I think that with the next – step is, I mean, we have to do whatever we can to re-sign him. He's people want to say he's playing himself out of our budget, but
is that what people are saying?
I mean,
we have cap space now, right?
We have a lot of cap space, but at this point, he's literally playing to where team might make him the highest paid receiver in the league.
Man.
And I mean, we got to be able to figure out a way to get it done. If we can sign George Pickens, Javonte Williams, and then Brandon Aubrey,
to Lethal. Yeah.
Was contract coming up too?
Well, because he's as a kicker, he was never just on just like a long term deal. Yeah. But so yeah, it is up, and
that's
not even a question. He'll definitely be the highest paid player.
Yeah, like that's what I was about to say.
And he deserves every penny of it. I think that luckily for us, kickers being
they don't take up a lot of space.
I don't think that it's almost like a non-factor.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Our salary cap, but I think Jordan Figgins and Javonte Williams, we get those guys on for 3-4 years, restructure a few contracts, we'll have our offense locked up for the next few years. And I mean, I think that's what we need. We can build off that offense. I think this game was a whoever really lost this game, I think their season was kind of would be on the downward spiral. Wouldn't be
late game great. So y'all Washington?
Yeah. And we're in a position now to where our destiny is kind of in our own hands. We are, I wouldn't say that. Obviously, we're still second place, but as long as we handle our business, we're in a good spot, I think.
Right.
A lot worse than what most people would have kind of predicted going into the season, especially after losing Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
But I think that the way our offense is playing, I think that we can literally score with anybody. You'd have George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb playing. They're playing Jake Ferguson. He's in his Jason Witten era. I mean, that's kind of crazy to say so early in his career, but
I feel like he's starting to hum along a little bit.
Absolutely not.
No?
The way he was.
Didn't he have a touchdown?
He's humming in his Jason Witten era. He's not breaking any tackles. He's not getting any yards after catch. He's catching the ball. Great. Solid hands. Catching it where it needs to be. Getting past the six. Catching touchdowns.
Okay, so are you
officially in his Jason Witten era? He has 44 catches for he's literally he's last out of 44 tight ends in yards per catch. And I'm not complaining.
Okay.
I'm just calling.
How it is. Yeah, yeah.
He's 100% is Jason Witten there.
Okay. All
right. If that's going to put points on the board, I'll take it.
Right.
I mean, Javonte Williams is playing. He's a top two or a top three running back in the NFL right now. Just given what we're able to do in our passing game, he's doing in the running game is just amazing. That's been one of the best free agent signings for the Cowboys in a while. I think that because it's not just like he's running through wide open holes. He's the offensive line is doing a great job run blocking and pass blocking.
Right.
The plays he's making, he's breaking tackles, his jump cuts are on another level. I can't give enough credit to our offense. I want to give Brian Schottenheimer a lot of credit. The energy he's bringing, the plays he's calling.
Yeah.
We're doing everything we need to. And just depending on if our defense can continue this, they can do this again. I think that not only does the team have a chance to make the playoffs, they have a chance to win any game they step on the field and play. Whether that be if they make the playoffs, if they don't, it's really just going to be up to our defense to get our stops. And I think that if we were to make the playoffs, just depending on what record we make that with, if this is the way things continue, Dak Prescott is by and large the front runner for MVP in that sense. He wouldn't be based on our record. I don't know. I don't really know who you could give it to. I think, because there's a couple guys that have better records, but I don't think there's anybody playing better than him.
Mm-hmm.
Even guys that we mentioned on the last episodes, Baker Mayfield didn't have a great game.
No,
I feel we'll talk about that.
Yes.
I mean, I guess Daniel Jones, he did have a...
I watched the Colts play. Listen, I watched the Colts beat up on the Chargers in L.A.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I think the Colts, like we talked about last week, there are no teams that, I started to pull away. I'm not going to lie, though. I think the Colts are starting to pull away in the AFC. I'm not, for me right now, I think the Colts are the best team in the AFC.
I wouldn't be mad if someone was saying that. I can't give them a Daniel Jones led to the Indianapolis Colts. Call it hating or call it just
the fair. I just,
I'm not gonna be mad at anyone who says
it. Yeah,
I just, you're literally basing it off what you're seeing. I'm basing it off of
what you're seeing.
What I hear.
I hear you.
That's a perfect way to say it.
Man, the Colts are playing really good ball right now. They're playing complimentary football at another level.
For sure.
It's just like, I'm going to give my hats to them right now. I think they're the best team in the AFC. But no, I hear what you're saying, man. But you just, Andy, talking about your defense. But let's talk about your defense. You just said you expect Trayvon Diggs to be traded, to be gone.
Yeah.
What happened? Because you were not saying this last week.
Well, just the announcement of him missing that game was a concussion. I think that is just clear. You see things, you kind of see that morning.
You've been seeing it. Because you've been seeing rumblings, you said?
No, not about him getting, that happened and it was like, oh yeah, everyone was on the same page. Like, it wasn't until that. Like, yeah, the whole thing with Matt Eberflus, he was never really in trade talks. But then it came out of nowhere that he was missing this game with a concussion that he sustained at home.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh yeah, he's gone. Now, the trade rumblings that I was talking about is everyone's been talking, saying that the Cowboys have been shopping around trying to get a guy like Max Crosby to Dallas. And I think that,
yeah,
I mean, if Jerry can make that happen, but depending on what we give up, if he makes that happen, he's in a position right now to where if he can sign those three guys,
yes,
and no matter what kind of, at this point, what it really takes to make, if he makes that happen, I think he'll deserve, it might absolve all the mistakes he's made since then. All right, and I'm not even joking. That would be signing those three, trading and getting those guys on the team.
Yes.
Signing them long-term deals.
Yes.
Getting Max Crosby in. That would be, does NFL have executive of the year?
Yeah.
I
think so.
That would be by and large of the year
for you. Give it to Jerry for that.
It would make up for all the times he didn't make moves like that. Because all of that at once is just something you don't really see things like that. Even for
Jerry going all in.
Even across the league. That's a, like, those are.
We've gone all in a couple times. The Steelers are going all in this year.
They have. That's a lot of moves to make. The Steelers traded for DK.
Traded for DK, traded for Jalen Ramsey, traded for Jonathan Smith, signed Darius Slay. They made all-in moves. They brought in Aaron Rodgers. Like, they made all-in moves.
Those aren't good. Those guys aren't good as good as DK Metcalf isn't as good as George Pickens right now. None of those guys you named defense.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on. Wait. Back up.
George Pickens is a better receiver than DK Metcalf.
That's tomato, tomato. But they're still, like, those guys. DK Metcalf, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, like, two Hall of Fame players for sure. DK, probably not. But Slay, no. Four guys who have been all pros before. Like, all pro caliber players.
They're not all pro caliber players now.
You're not going to tell me the Steelers didn't make all in moves.
They did. What I'm saying is they're not, those moves aren't as ginormous as these moves are.
I disagree. For the Steelers, it was.
No, this would be the Packers. This is like going to trade for a top receiver, a top defensive player. That's getting a lot of.
I hear what you're saying, but the Steelers don't operate like that. Mike Tomlin does not operate like that.
Then they don't qualify for what I'm saying.
Yes, they do, because they don't do that. Mike Tomlin literally said.
I'm saying those are blockbuster moves.
But they were for the Steelers. It may not be blockbuster moves to you, but they were for the Steelers.
Those are puzzle pieces to, like, complete your team. That's a few different pieces. Those are not blockbuster moves any way you cut. Not for the
Steelers. I disagree.
Darius Slay is not a blockbuster move.
Darius Slay was a Pro Bowl corner last year for us and a Super Bowl champ last year for us.
Pro Bowl is a popularity card.
Bro, you're just diminishing.
Darius Slay is not a blockbuster move.
You're trying to take away from them, but no, bro. No,
that's not on the same level.
Those were blockbuster moves for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He is a top 3 player in his position.
Hold on. I'm not arguing that what the Cowboys would possibly do. I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying there are other teams that have operated like that.
No, that's not a blockbuster. Then not okay. Unless you're making just multiple blockbuster moves.
Yes,
that
it was
operating the same. Every team every year gets a couple different pieces here and there.
Lando, the Pittsburgh Steelers went from Justin Fields and Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Ramsey, Minka Fitzpatrick. They got rid of Minka Fitzpatrick.
Aaron Rodgers.
They brought back TJ Watt.
42-year-old Aaron Rodgers is not a
42-year-old Aaron Rodgers is balling for them right now.
He's playing decent.
Okay.
He literally just
sucked. Look.
Was Aaron Rodgers a good quarterback these last two seasons? He got hurt.
I'm not going to say he was a bad quarterback.
Yes, he was.
I'm not going to say that.
He was terrible last year.
You are not going to sit here and look at me and tell me that he had the same exact stats as Patrick Mahomes and tell me one was great and one was terrible.
One was playing.
Was playing for the Jets, who are still god awful.
That's literally been this entire argument with Jalen Hurts. It's not his stats haven't been that good, but they were winning. Him having the same stats as Patrick Mahomes doesn't mean anything.
You are not about to tell me. You are not about to put the reason that the Jets were awful solely on Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't say that he was the sole. I'm saying he just did not play well.
Okay, yeah, that's where me and you disagree. I don't think he played bad. I really don't. I watched him play. I don't think he played bad last year.
He was a middle of the pack quarterback.
Okay. I do not think he played bad last year.
He played bad enough to where signing him on what maybe his last is not a blockbuster move.
Okay, in your opinion, we're going to agree to disagree.
A blockbuster move.
We're going to agree to disagree.
A top player.
We're going to agree to disagree.
The only way a quarterback getting traded, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, a top 10, top 5 quarterback. You cannot say Aaron Rodgers at 41 is a blockbuster move.
We're going to agree to disagree. Anyway, we're just going to keep going back and forth at this point. Anyhow, if y'all can get Max Crosby, I absolutely don't want that to happen. Under no circumstances do I want Max Crosby to end up in Dallas. I don't even know what y'all have to give. Are they talking about trading Trayvon for him?
No, I don't know. Trayvon, that's just separate. He's out of there. He's not. They're just saying he's.
So you don't think he'll play another game for the Dallas Cowboys?
No, even Jerry even said something like, oh, well, basically we're happy with what the team looked like. I don't know what his exact words are. That's just a whole separate situation.
Okay.
I think him and Matt Eberflus don't
get along.
They don't like each other. He doesn't want to be here anymore. They don't want to be anymore. I think Matt.
Do you want him here still?
I don't mind. If he's here, he's here. If he's not, okay. I know our feelings. But I think with Max Crosby, if we get this deal done, I think that kind of cements that we won the trade because
Micah trade.
Worst case scenario, we trade, two of the first round picks, like basically two. So we then traded Micah for Max Crosby and Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
Which I think while Micah is younger than Max Crosby, the production has been similar. I'm not going to just switch up. Because if you had you asked me last season, I would have said Michael Parsons was a better. I think it's not too far off.
No,
but
yeah.
Add Kenny Clark and that is good. But best case scenario, we don't trade either of them. But I even meet in the middle and just say we trade one of them. And so then we ended up trading Michael Parsons for Kenny Clark, Max Crosby, and a first round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, can't really ask for much more than that.
Yeah.
In a trade for one of your team's best players.
Right.
So I guess, well, Jerry, you're in a position to be exactly who you say you can be.
Yeah.
Be exactly who you thought you
were. It's time to walk the
all
walk.
These years. Yeah, it's time to talk the talk. Yeah. I mean, no, you like you said, walk the walk.
Yeah.
But, it's right in front of you, man. Make it happen. And this team, okay, you could really put this team in a position to make some noise. Because like we said, if our defense – and like they just proved, because they don't even have to be that good and are going forward. If they can just be middle of the pack, just average, not the worst team and the worst defense in the NFL, this team can win a lot of football games.
You know, I'm friends with a Raiders fan, and when I saw that they got skunked this past Sunday, I asked them, I said, man, is it time to just go wholesale? You know, trade everybody, put on the Geno Smith experiment, And he was like, yeah, but he literally said, like, I hope we can do that without trading Max Crosby. I told him that's not possible. That's not how it goes.
Right.
You hit the reset, the refresh, the restart button by trading your biggest names. I do wonder, though, because Max Crosby just re-upped with the Raiders. So
we have the cap space.
I wonder, like, because who was it? Oh, the Saints. Like, the Saints, right? Obviously, the Saints are the eighth this season, right?
Right.
Horrible team. But Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, they've come out publicly and said they don't want to get traded. They want to stay here. They want to finish this, right? I feel like Max Crosby is also in that same sentiment. Because we spoke about this before. I don't know what the Raiders' plans are.
Right, nobody.
Nobody. I don't know what the Raiders' plans are.
Yeah, I know a Raiders fan, too, and he's sick this season. He doesn't know what's going on.
Like,
he was very, not excited, but he was very, like, optimistic on the
Oscar side. My friend, he was like,
Geno Smith experience.
Yeah, he was like, oh, like, you know, we finally got somebody to stabilize the quarterback position. Pete Carroll coming in, like, no, we should be decent this year. No, that has not been the case. I don't know. I don't know what the Raiders' plans are. I mean, to me, I'm absolutely taking calls on Max Crosby.
For sure.
I mean, Jacoby Myers, I guess, you know, because he wanted to get traded. So I guess I'd take calls on him too. Honestly, yeah, like I'm taking calls. I'm stacking up draft picks because we're not playing for nothing this year. You know, Ashton Jensen, we, you know, continue to develop him and start the search for your next quarterback because it's not Geno. It's not Geno, not even in the short term. It's not Geno. So I don't know what the Raiders' plans are. But, yeah, no, I mean, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, like, if your team's, you know, trying to make a run, yeah, I'm calling for a Max Crosby. I'm trying to see, you know, what that's looking like. If I'm a Buffalo Bills, I'm calling about Jacoby Myers. Like, Josh Allen can use another receiver, you know. If I'm the Washington Commanders, like, because – I mean, we'll see Debo, you know. They didn't get any younger bringing in Debo Samuel at the wide receiver position.
Definitely.
So if I'm the Washington Commanders, like, yeah, like, I'm calling about a Jacoby Myers. Like, if I'm the Raiders, I'm taking calls. I'm going to the highest bidder at this point. But I kind of want to touch on our division real quick, you know, because I'm not going to lie. As of right now, I think the Giants will finish third in the division.
Oh, yeah, I think they're better than the Commanders right now.
And they played Denver to the death.
I mean, no, that was ridiculous.
What? Like, what do you mean?
How do you let a team score 30?
Oh, really? You know what?
In the fourth quarter?
I'll say this, though, like, because the Giants, they're a young team. Like, every young team has to go through that. I mean, I watched the majority of the game because I saw, fun fact, I got Sunday ticket at YouTube TV. So I was able to watch a lot of football this Sunday.
Right.
And I was taking full advantage of it. And, you know, I started watching y'all's game, but I knew that was going to be a watch early. So then I tuned. I saw the Giants were up big on the Broncos. I was like, what?
Right.
In Denver? Like, there's no way. So I started watching that game. Yeah, they're a young team. They're a young team. Jackson Dart, he played great aside from the interception he threw. But, you know, Bo Nix, he already has a season under his belt. Sean Payton is head coach. And the Broncos still have a top-notch defense, even though they haven't looked like it the past couple of weeks. But, yeah, no, I mean, it was in Denver, like, too. Like, and Bo Nix, he put his Superman cap on and just went to work in the second half. But the Giants...
It was really just the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they really came alive in the fourth quarter. But the Giants, like, they played them to the death. Like, it was, I mean...
Didn't they have a couple extra points missed? Then
they did, but, yeah. Their kicker, I mean, their kicker got cut today. So
makes sense.
Yeah, they were missing Graham Gano, their usual kicker.
They're thinking, hey, you make those two extra points.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. But I mean, again, my hat's up to the Giants. They played the Denver Broncos very, very, very tough. Like, they are that team. Like, they're the trap game for teams this season right now. Like, I'm not thinking it's going to be a walk in the park us playing them, you know, this week.
Right.
They already whooped us. They already whooped us once. So it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a dogfight. That's the team. You play the Giants this season, man. It's going to be a dogfight. They're not going to make it easy for you. And Jackson Dart, like I said, he's doing work without Malik Nabers, Darius Slayton, right? His top two receivers. So.
Right.
And Cam Scatterbill, I mean, he's proving more and more each week, man. He could be a featured running back in the NFL. So, and their defense, I mean, they got the front seven figured out. It's just their corner play, man. They got to figure that out.
Definitely.
But, I mean, yeah, no, the Giants, you know, they finish out this year. Yeah, I'll say, like, 8-9. maybe 9-8. We'll see. But the Giants, looking into the next season, they could be a very, or not even very, they could be a wild card. They could be a wild card. They could be a sleeper team. But I think the Giants will finish out this season as the third best team in our division.
No,
unless y'all's defense just like completely implodes.
Yeah.
No, I agree 1,000%. I think the Giants are definitely trending in the right direction. I think they've found a real spark with Jackson Dart and Cam Scatterbull in that backfield.
Yep.
I think that, yeah, especially being down their receivers, that they are still being able to produce score points at a high level.
Right.
They'll definitely be a team like in the division going forward. I mean, the division going forward is looking up, like each team is kind of,
it's starting to trend up a little bit.
There, I think everyone's kind of in a good place.
Like they're starting, it looks like they may be starting around in
the
four.
Obviously, our defense is really bad, so that's not a good place. But it has, especially just given the future.
Right.
Even if we don't make any trades for Max Roby, we'll still have those four first round picks in the next 2 years.
Right.
I mean, yeah, the division can definitely be a dogfight these next couple years going forward.
Right. You kind of, touched on it with Monday Night Football with, Baker. Let's just talk about Tampa Bay versus Detroit. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say this as a blanket statement because you tell me otherwise. Is there any reason right now why Jahmyr Gibbs would not be considered the best running back in football?
No. I mean,
and like, that dude is insane.
No, he's amazing.
And I'm going to sound selfish saying this, but like I wanted Jahmyr Gibbs in that draft so bad. And I thought we were going to get him because he's a running back. And like nobody takes a running back that at 12. Mm-hmm. And what did the Detroit Lions do? They take him at 12. Thanks, Dan Campbell.
That was when they already had David Montgomery.
What I watched Monday night, man, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is that dude. And, at first when he got the league, everybody was like, oh, he's just a speed back. He's small. He's not going to. I saw that man running. I saw him outrunning Antoine Winfield, and I saw him run over Antoine Winfield.
Bro, he's definitely
a
featured back in this.
Yes. Right now, Jahmyr, Bijan, Christian McCaffrey, like those three, they're the top backs right now. But I mean, I'm watching Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's a better receiver than Bijan. I think he's faster than Christian McCaffrey. I'm giving it to Jahmyr Gibbs right now, bro. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is the best running back in football. And I think the Detroit Lions, they're starting to figure it out again. And you know what? I'll give Dan Campbell his credit. I was the first one to say, we both said it on here, like, losing Aaron Glenn, losing Ben Johnson. Like, we were going to find out what Dan Campbell was made of this year.
Definitely. He's having a much better season than both of those guys.
Right. And his defense is still losing guys left and right. They had no names out there playing corner for them last night.
He has more wins than both of those guys put together.
Dude.
Got to. Because one of them does nothing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But, Detroit, they came in last night, steamrolled Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield. I mean, Mike Evans, first game back, he got hurt. So hopefully, he's not out for too long. But him and Emeka Ibuka, which is crazy because they've been on a heater to start the season. But
yeah,
they could not get on the same page.
That time missed and got him a little rusty.
Right. Baker, man, he was missing throws. Like Detroit, they just made Tampa work for every yard.
Yeah, for sure.
Their offense, obviously, it's crazy. Their offense was almost like the perfect defense because it was the Jahmyr Gibbs show. And he was just getting the ball 24/7, running the clock out, making gash plays. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, doing his thing. Jared Goff doing his thing. Yeah, I mean, Detroit, they're playing shorthanded, like we said. Brian Branch got suspended for whooping the Juju Smith-Schuster.
Right.
Terry Arnold out. Their other corner, Rex Straw is out. Who else think they signed somebody else? He was out too. Oh, DJ Reed, he was out. Like they were missing everybody. Marcus Davenport, he's already out for the season. Like they were missing guys. I'll say this. Like, I know Detroit Lions fans are just praying for Dan Campbell to get one healthy season. Like
for sure.
like can we just give him one healthy roster for a full season? Because the sky's the limit at that point. So shout out to the Detroit Lions, man. They whooped them on Tampa. Baker's MVP candidacy took a huge hit last night.
Definitely.
And you got anything else you want to talk about that game?
No, I think you hit everything on the head.
Yeah. I mean, but I'll say you this. Tampa Bay, man, got smoked. But Houston, I don't even know what to say. Like, there is a problem in Houston
for sure.
Like, it's past the point of concern. Like, it's past the point of like cautious optimism. I saw CJ Stroud run for his life damn near every play last night. I saw CJ Stroud make throws when he could. I saw him make plays when he could. The Houston Texans have a top three defense. Their defense only gives up
number one defense.
They literally only give up like, I think, 12 points.
It was 12 points before that. I think they gave up 20 in that. But
and they had four turnovers. They caused four turnovers. They won the turnover battle. And CJ Stroud and company could not for the life of me, could not figure it out. And I don't know, man. I'm going to sound like a broken record at this point, but like, why is it that you draft a guy, you think he's the guy, he shows you he's the guy, right? When he has time and he has weapons. Why is it that you see that and you say, okay, so now we're going to deviate from making sure that guy is set, right? He's set up for success. And we're just going to focus on everything else. Like, why? I don't understand why that is. CJ Stroud, because the Texans, remember, the Texans, they drafted two receivers early second, early third round, right? They started the whole second round, you know, draft pick trend with, you know, giving second round draft picks, you know, fully guaranteed contracts with Jaden Higgins,
right?
The Texans started that. So I watched that game last night. I said, man, like, why did they not draft O-Lyman instead of receivers?
They drafted a second round O-Lyman.
Did they? Who? Is it the left tackle?
Ariante Arise?
Yeah, that's the starter left tackle now. He's not looking good though.
I'm sorry. Both of their second round pick last year was a tackle as well. Blake Fisher.
Oh, they're just missing on guys then, it seems like. Yeah, you traded for a Christian Kirk. You traded away a Laremy Tunsil. I know Houston Texans, y'all felt like he was, you know, inconsistent or whatever. Say what you will, Laremy Tunsil was still the best offensive lineman you had by a mile. Like, by a mile.
I don't think he was.
Their best offensive lineman?
He was bad for the, like, that's, they, Texans fans don't think that for no reason. They know, like, he was.
He was good. Still their best offensive lineman, though.
He, by name, maybe, but not by play. He was mad. Yeah, he was one of their worst offensive
linemen. I don't know about that, dog.
Why do you think they do that? How else would they?
Like, I'm telling you what I'm seeing is not better than what Laremy Tunsil was doing.
His replacement, and there might not be. Well, and that's the thing. It might have been. Like, that's what I'm saying. Laremy Tunsil. The amount he might have, he led. I know for a fact
he had his problems. No, I'm not arguing that.
And then that's what I'm saying. He was Texans fans. It's like, it's hard to. When have you ever seen something happen like a team be bad and the team be like, the fans be like, oh, I'm blaming that line. Like, it was, they don't blame him for like bad, like all his, the blame game, it was well deserved.
I'm not saying the criticism wasn't deserved. I know he had, you know, issues with false starts and penalties, you know, penalties and all that. I know that. I still think even with all his stuff, he was their best old lineman by a mile. Because I'm not seeing nothing else telling me otherwise. I mean, hell, they gave us, you know, when we traded CJ Gardner-Johnson to them for Kenyon Green, I mean, he washed out. We cut him. Maybe he's just not good, but
that's what I'm saying. If he's by not beating the team in penalties like that, they're better than Laremy Tunsil. When he was in penalty, he wasn't even blocking well.
I mean, I think he was like a, and I know, listen, I'm not a firm believer in like Pro Bowls on it, but like, I don't know. I think the dude was serviceable at the very least as their left tackle for the 4 or 5 years he was there.
I think the Texans know exactly what they saw.
The Houston Texans I saw last night, dog, if y'all don't invest in some protection for CJ Stroud, quick, fast, and in a hurry, it's going to be David Carr all over again.
I think he has to be better.
But I don't think it's just on him, though. Did you watch the game?
Yeah. I watched all.
Seattle had like seven guys in the backfield, like constantly. Now, look at me. Seattle's like, they're a top. I mean, Seattle, I want to talk about them too, but.
This was in a one game thing. Their entire season, he's been bad. Not even like hard. He need like he what, especially given what he did as a rookie.
Yes.
So what
he was very different though when he was a rookie.
What he's done since he gave Caleb Williams that advice has been next to like he's been on par with some of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
I don't think a guy falls off that quickly. Just by like, I don't think a guy regresses that quickly all on his own.
I'm serious. Like, I know you said you're seeing regression. I'm not even full fledged, like, saying I'm seeing regression. Like, when CJ Stroud made throws when he had time to make throws. Now, number one, I mean, you know, Nico Collins went out, Christian Kirk's been out. Who's their third receiver? I can't even remember. Like, he was missing, Dalton Schultz was out too. He got hurt. Like, he was missing his top three targets. And obviously, he's not on the same page with, you know, you spoke about it before with chemistry, right? He's not on the same page with Jaylen Higgins, Jaylen Royal. I mean, I know he hit Jaylen Royal for a touchdown late, but obviously, he hasn't gotten a lot of work in with those, you know, second and third string guys. But I think the Texans have to do a better job of making life easier for him. I don't think they've done that. The running game is like non-existent. You know, Joe Mixon, I doubt we're going to see him in a Texas uniform again.
Yeah, that hasn't been good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to play this year. Nick Chubb, yeah, I guess that it is what it is. They got Woody Marks starting for them now.
It's just not good. Their whole offense is just not good right now.
Yeah. They're like the opposite of us. They have like the best defense in the league, but
right,
the offense
really. Exactly, exactly. So I think D'Amico Ryan is like, I don't think he could fix it this year.
No.
I don't think it's possible. So, and I don't think he's going to get fired. So he really, like, this offseason, he just has to sit down because he's calling the defense. Their defense is solid. Like, you got to, yeah, solid. Sure. Like, their defense is good. They're straight. Number one, bring in the best offensive line you can. I don't, like, whoever's going to be available, right?
I'm sorry, y'all. Allergies are killing me.
And number two, like, draft picks, whoever you're targeting free agency, offense, O-line. Find a running back. There's going to be a couple good ones coming out of this year's draft. Receivers, I mean, George Pickens is going to be a free agent. There's going to be a couple other free agents. Hell, go trade for somebody.
He won't be a free agent.
Whatever. Fair. We'll see.
But, he won't, like, not even, like, joking. He don't want to be a free agent this season.
It's his contract, isn't it?
No, well, I mean, he will either be traded or franchise tag. There's no way he's just
going to fair. I'll just say, guys will be available. And D'Amico Ryan is like, now, you need to fix this now. Because real soon, it's going to come a point in time where they pick CJ or you. They're going to stick with CJ before they can stick with you.
Sure.
So, brother, fix this, please. For your sake and for his, fix this, please.
They would have to, like, clearly be good. The defense would have to be good. The receivers, all their receivers back. Line good, good run game, and then they still be bad for them to move on. They'd have to do that for a couple seasons before they move on from CJ.
Right, right. On the flip side of that, though, Seattle. Man, I'm not going to lie. They look, am I tripping, or do they look better than, like, the Russell Wilson, like, Legion of Boom Seattle Seahawks?
No, they definitely look like one of the best Seahawks teams in recent history. Like, yeah, for sure.
And I mean, Sam Darnold, he's playing top-notch. Like, he's sharp, efficient with the football. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's looking like a dog right now. The best receivers in the league.
I wanted that man on my team so bad.
They got a running game going with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. And their defense, Mike McDonald, man.
As a Michigan fan, I miss that man more and more every Saturday. Because Wink Martindale, he's going to give me an aneurysm, I swear. Yeah, Seattle looks legit. Their defense is absolutely legit. You know, even if their offense, like, slows down because of a middle-of-the-road offense, it's
still fine.
Right.
It's still fine. Yeah, Seattle, they look like a problem. I don't want to play them right now. I don't want to play them. I don't want to play Detroit. Like, if I had to pick teams I'm sold on in each conference, Seattle and NFC, Indy for AFC. You know what? I'll put the Rams in too for LA. Although Puka got hurt, so I know it's going to hurt them a lot.
I'd probably say Detroit and NFC, and then the Chiefs are back in the AFC.
Are you ready for that?
I mean, I don't think they, like I said last night, I don't think you can ever actually count them out until they.
I just got to see them do it against good teams.
Or they would lose in the playoffs. But, I mean, I think they're the team to beat in the AFC.
I got
to
see them do it against the good teams, though. You know, playing the Raiders and who else did they play?
Didn't they just
the Giants
just beat the Lions?
Oh yeah, you're right. I'll give them that. But like consistently though, you know what I'm saying? Because they did that. They beat the Giants. They whooped up on the lowly Raiders. I need to see them do it against upper echelon NFL teams on a more consistent basis before I.
Who are their losses to? What are they?
Us
5-2, 4-2.
I think they're 4-2. They lost to us. And the Chargers.
They're 4-3.
They lost to us, the Chargers, and who else?
Yeah, beat the Raiders, beat the Lions. Oh, they just lost to the Jaguars.
Yes.
And they beat the Ravens. Beat the Giants. Yeah,
the Ravens are bad this year.
They lost to y'all, and then they lost to the Jags.
Right.
I don't know how they did that.
I mean, I watched that game. Yeah, they did lose it. Yeah, so, and the Jags, I mean, we'll see what they are at the end of the year. But, I need to see Kansas City do it against the upper echelon teams first. You know, before I mean, Detroit, yeah, that's a good one, but I need to see what they do down the stretch. But Seattle, Los Angeles, Detroit, and the NFC, AFC right now for me, I mean, I guess de facto, I'll put the Chiefs in that conversation just because they are the Chiefs. But I'm not, by any means, I'm not sold on them as being back yet. But them, the Colts, I think that's it for me right now, the AFC, I'm not going to lie to you. The Patriots, I look at it, but we'll see. They're young. To me, those are the top teams in both conferences right now. And, you know, we got the Giants coming up next week, this upcoming Sunday. Y'all, who do y'all have?
We have the Broncos, and I will be there in attendance in Denver.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did Johnny give you tickets or something? Or?
No. The fan, like, we are, but I mean, we're going to see because Jade is playing. It's like Jade's team versus Cowboys. That is the game we like decided to go to. But my mom, my dad, my brother, we're all going out there. And Deuce is also he's on the Broncos practice squad.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so we're going to see both of them. He won't be playing. Deuce won't be playing.
But yeah, I haven't seen him.
Be up to go out there, see them. And hopefully the Cowboys can come away with the dub. I tell everybody, anybody I know that has ever played in the NFL, like I told my blood relative, Ronald Jones, he played for the Chiefs, Buccaneers.
Yes.
Those times he played against the Cowboys, cannot root for you today, sir. They do with y'all the same way. I can, and even in Ronald's case, sometimes I would be like, well, Lee, hopefully he can. Because he can have a running back and kind of have a good game.
It's still Williams.
If Jade has a good game, that kind of directly means Dak has a bad game. And if Dak has a bad game, that almost guarantees the Cowboys lose. So,
yes.
Yep. Not even going to wish for a good game for you, Jade. They do like Rico told us before the game, and they need you to buckle up. Which I think would be in order having to go out. Going out there with CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and just, I mean, the rest of our offense right now, but they do have a pretty good defense.
Yes.
I will say right now, I'm 1,000% confident that Dak Prescott will not be afraid of Patrick Surtain in the slightest. I think they'll challenge him just the same way they would challenge any other corner. That's just these kind of looking forward, but just the way Dak is playing, I think he's playing with almost
that level of confidence.
It's almost a level of an arrogance that's kind of he doesn't see a throw that he doesn't like. So, and I think we're just at a point to where the chemistry between him and George is, I mean, I don't think he'll care who's out there. If he sees George one-on-one, that's the play, that's what his look. He's going to give George a chance every time, which I 1,000% support. Same the way if it's CeeDee Lamb. I like them over. I don't think there's a single corner in the entire NFL I think that's good enough to where I would not want them. I've always thought that, though. Like I've talked about that before. I would never let a shutdown corner, quote-unquote, dictate the way I play my game. I would not. He's going to have to go out there and prove it. And we're going to, he's just going to have to show me that he's that much better than our best receiver.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a single corner in the league that is better than CeeDee Lamb.
So you think CeeDee is a better receiver than Pat Surtain is a corner?
Absolutely. I think CeeDee Lamb is a better receiver than every corner in the NFL is at corner. But I think it's like, really? It's a much. I think it's not just CeeDee, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't. I guess we'll find out, right?
Yeah. No. Obviously, that's what this week will kind of tell us. He'll be able to prove.
For your sake, I hope Pat doesn't bait Dak like he was doing this past weekend with Jackson Dart, but. Yeah, I guess we'll see. You know, that, I mean, that could make for an explosive game. You know, top-notch offense versus top-notch defense. I guess the game will really come down to if y'all's defense could get a stop.
You say he was baiting Jackson Dart. They still scored 30.
No. But it was just like, it was a lot of, like, he Jackson Dart was definitely not going Pat Surtain's way at all. It was very evident. And he almost, I mean, Pat Surtain almost picked the ball. Actually, like, he caught the ball, but he dropped it. But he was trying to bait him all game. But that's interesting. We'll see. It's funny because I've always looked at it as, what do you think is more important to have, a top-notch receiver or a shutdown corner?
Oh, a top-notch receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought you'd say that, yeah.
I mean, it's like, even... It just depends. Like, if our best receiver is Ryan Flannoy, I'm not going to feel the same way. I think Patrick Surtain is a better quarter than because it's like, I think I kind of had this debate when kind of just debate talking about how Byron Jones was a corner for the Cowboys, was all pro, but he was a lockdown corner. And I was like, that really meant nothing to our team. It didn't really much mean anything to our defense. They still gave up points. They still, like, locking down your side. Because he wasn't even, like, a shadow corner where he's following guys, locking them down. He just locked down the left side.
Right.
And that did, like, it honestly did nothing for our team.
I mean, I think it's, like, you can never just have one, right? Like, you can't have, either way, right? You can't have a CeeDee Lamb at receiver and then a Cooper Rush at quarterback. Right?
You definitely need a good, somebody
at the pass Surtain. You know, in the back end, and then have no pass rush.
They have Pat Surtain, but they also have Nick Benito,
right?
Leading in sacks, and
Jonathan Cooper, Zach Allen, all pro last year. Johnny Barron now is a rookie. I can't remember what else to do today, but the safety for 49ers, he signed with them. They got some guys over there, man. Our former Eagle, Alex Singleton, is over there making plays. They got some guys over there now, so I may tend to lead towards corner. I don't know. I'm a defensive oriented guy in just like all sports though. So that's probably why I lead towards corner a little bit. But I hear you, man. It's gonna make for a good game. You know, Dallas and Denver. Hopefully for your sake. And we'll see.
It'd be sick to go all the way out there. I will say I have me and my brother. We have a pretty good track record at going to see the Cowboys.
Get wins.
Yeah, I mean we've witnessed some of their best wins in recent history. We were there at the Christmas Eve game against you guys.
Yeah.
The 3rd and 30 play, we got to see that live. I think there was one season we went to the Falcons and the Commanders game, and they won those games by total. It was like they scored 90-something points between the two games.
Yeah.
And only allowed, like, less than 10. It was, like, 90-something to 6 between the two games.
So maybe the Smart Brothers bring some good luck.
I'm hoping so. And I think I've been all close to 10 games.
Wow.
And they've only lost one.
You know what's crazy? To this day, I have yet to go to a Philadelphia Eagles game. Hopefully, fix that in the next year.
I usually talk to like people I know that support the team we're playing to see if they're interested in going. But I mean, it just never really falls through. Or games are expensive, so it's you really got to make that.
We got to go to the next like meaningful Cowboys Eagles game.
The next one this season will be in Dallas.
No. Well, I mean, we'll see. Like, is that later on in the season, though?
Yeah.
So then, well, I guess we'll see. Cause like later on, like,
there's no
if y'all are out of the mix, like if we're both out of the mix, there's no, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like there's no way both teams will be out of the mix. I know we have next week's the Broncos, then we have the Cardinals, then we have the bye week. Then we have the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, because we have a tough schedule, because I think that game is after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because I know we have the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. If not that game, then we'll go to the next meaningful one.
I've been wanting to go, even like trying to see if Jamal would be down to go. I know he's got a lot. Oh, by the way, I meant to say this. Happy belated birthday to the
baby Ellie.
Channel's nieces.
Yeah.
To the channel's niece, baby Ellie. Just had her first birthday.
Baby Ellie.
Yeah,
shout out Ellie.
Yeah, I wanted to see if Jamal could go any, or my brother just had to get the. Kind of get a little group going, because the games are actually really fun to go to in person.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
This will be my first game at another NFL team stadium.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out.
That experience will be fun.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear about it.
How the difference between the two.
Get ready for that altitude, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This will be my fifth time being in Denver. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I went earlier this year. With some friends, but this will be, like I said, first time in another NFL stadium, first time in enemy territory.
Yeah.
So I kind of see how that atmosphere, interesting to see how that atmosphere is like. And,
right.
I'm definitely going to wear my Cowboys gear, definitely going to be rooting for my team.
Obviously.
Definitely going to be talking my mess if they warrant it. and just interested to see how Denver and their fans kind of react to that.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be very easy for us to go to a Cowboys-Eagles game, in Dallas.
Right.
I will say going to a game in Philly is definitely something I want to experience.
Yeah.
A lot of people say the Philly fans are on another level.
Uh-huh.
They don't let you do it. I've literally seen people say, if you're going to go to a game, don't wear your Cowboys stuff. That's blasphemy. I say bring it on. I'll walk through the middle of Lincoln Financial with my jersey on, loud and proud, win or lose. And that's definitely something I would be for to experience one day.
We'll make it happen. I'll just end on this note with that. Fred Warner's wife, the 49ers had to come play in Philly. He told her, he's like, don't wear red. And she said after the game, I'll never go back to the Lincoln Financial Field. So we'll leave it at that. But today is the 21st? October 21st?
Mm-hmm.
NBA regular season basketball is officially back. The Thunder played the Rockets. We were watching it before we started recording. It went to overtime. I don't know who ended up winning that game.
I got you. The Thunder won by one in overtime. Oh,
wow.
How it actually ended.
Okay. Well, on that note, the Lakers and the Warriors looking right now?
Jabari, so Shaw got fouled. They were down one, made two free throws to put them up one. Then Jamari Smith Jr. missed a two-point turnaround fadeaway to lose the game.
And be like that.
Right now, the Lakers and the Warriors, the Lakers are down 10, or down 11 now to the Warriors. Jimmy Butler has 22, 2-2. Ooh. Seth Curry has 14-2. Jonathan Kuminga has 12, 6-5.
Okay. I like that a lot.
Luka Doncic is begging for some help. He has 26, 7-4.
LeBron half. Oh, Rod's out.
Yeah, LeBron, he'll be missing in the first few weeks.
Luka is begging for help.
Austin Reeves has 12, 6-3. He's playing decent.
Oh, wait, that's double digits.
DeAndre Ayton in his first game has been what I can only assume a utter disappointment. He has 4 points, 5 rebounds, and by the way, it's the third quarter. Like, they just came out of halftime, 8 minutes and 50 seconds left.
Yeah.
So it's been over two quarters of basketball and over his stats.
So we'll see how that goes. But NBA's back.
It is.
We will slowly but surely get in the groove of talking more about basketball now. But, the huge headline for this week, I guess, Stephen A. Smith addressed his beef with LeBron James. I didn't even watch the episode. I know you said you saw what was said, or you saw the clip.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about it?
He went on Carmelo Anthony's 7 Beam in Brooklyn podcast, and they let him kind of just air out his grievances about LeBron, said he didn't like him, said basically he...
Like ever?
I don't know if he kind of referenced whether it was just like he doesn't like him anymore, he hasn't liked him, never liked him. He just said it. He's like, I don't like him. And then he was talking about how LeBron has a lot of yes men around him. Nobody's told him no in 25 years. Uh-huh. Kind of just basically kind of just said he doesn't like the way LeBron kind of handles himself. Said how he never checks any of the white journalists the same way he checked him about with his comments over Bronny James.
Yeah.
And then went on to directly reference a time LeBron went at a white reporter the same way he saw. He said the only time he did it was when he went at Brian Windhorst. So, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, LeBron doesn't go at any reporters.
Yes.
So he's really only done it twice. One was you, Stephen A. Smith, a black man. One was Brian Windhorst, a white man. It's kind of like that had nothing to do with it. But
Brian is tight with LeBron, yeah?
Well, LeBron kind of came out and said, no, we're not tight.
Oh.
Never really were. This guy, I don't really know this.
Okay, yeah, because Windhorst kind of made it seem like that.
Exactly. And LeBron was like, hey, I don't know why he's always done
that. That's the check that happened? Is that what he's referring to?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that, first I want to say I'm disappointed in Carmelo Anthony.
Oh,
for kind of sitting back and letting that happen.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people will say,
because Carmelo's supposed to be LeBron's guy.
Yeah. Him and LeBron are like, well,
they're both brothers.
Friends. Yeah. For since the game in the league together, right. Friends since high school.
Yep.
And a lot of people will say, oh, well, like Carmelo and Stephen A are the friends as well.
I get that.
I don't. And some of them might say, oh, that's you just being a LeBron fan, because I am. No. Even in the same scenario when LeBron was in the wrong, when they were, not to bring this up, but it was the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef, and LeBron, Drake was upset with the way LeBron kind of handled the whole situation.
Yeah.
I agree with Drake. LeBron was insanely fake in that situation.
Okay.
I am the biggest LeBron fan I've ever met in my life, and I have no problem calling a spade a spade. In that same scenario, Carmelo Anthony was fake for sitting. You cannot say, even if you're a neutral fan of both,
yeah,
or not a neutral friend of both,
yeah,
it's your job to say, no, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm not going to let you use that platform to air out y'all's grievances. I'm a friend of you. I'm a friend of yours. I'm a friend of his. That's not what this platform is for.
Yeah.
Same way with LeBron.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself neutral when you're dancing for the thing, you're at the pop out, you're this and that. That's not neutral.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your job.
Like you just switched out.
Yeah. And I think that in the same sense. So okay. I'm disappointed in Carmelo for that. And with Stephen A, I think he's just being petty.
I'm just wondering LeBron, why we even talk about this.
Yeah, LeBron was well within his right. It all stemmed from when when he walked over to him it was last season.
Right.
During the timeout in Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Saw Stephen A and walked up and told him, keep my son's name after him out because of the way Stephen A was covering Bronny. Now, like I've said before, the same way with Shador, the same way with Bronny, he was the 53rd pick. Why are we putting so much of the spotlight on him? And it wasn't just the spotlight, because obviously he's in the NBA, he's able to be talked about. But Stephen A was coming to it. He literally said verbatim, LeBron, I'm coming to you I'm pleading to you as a father to stop doing this. And that to what? Not have your son? Because he's basically saying it was his fault that much scrutiny is being put on him.
Yeah.
And other than the one time before, while Bronny was still, I think he's either in high school or maybe his freshman year in college, LeBron sent off a tweet saying, oh, Bronny's better than some of these.
It was when he was in college.
Yeah. And I don't think that one tweet warrants all the scrutiny that Bronny has gotten since then. So I think that the way Stephen A has kind of used their names for clicks and clickbait and to put his name out there and gain some relevancy in these situations.
Yeah.
I think that LeBron was well in his rights to come to him as a man and say, I disagree with the way you did that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like getting, she's so like hurt by getting checked is because, like, I don't know, but I guess this is speaking from afar.
Yeah.
But that wasn't, he wasn't being the quote unquote real man, and LeBron checked that.
And Steve Clay wasn't being a
real man. And still LeBron checked it. He looked that man dead in his face and basically checked his manhood. And Stephen A. is hurt by that.
Yeah.
Because what can you do when you're, what can you really do when?
I mean, he does that in, you know, Madison Square Garden. You're from New York.
You're like, where,
yeah.
How much realer, like, of a, can you come to somebody?
Yeah.
Than in person.
Right.
As the first time I see you, I'm addressing this disagreement we had.
Yeah.
I think that it doesn't get any more man, quote unquote, manly than that. I don't really believe in the whole, like,
yeah,
being a real man in the mid, like,
yeah.
Patriarchy, but like, that's as real as it can get.
Yes, yes.
And I think Stephen A., his feelings just got hurt.
Yeah.
And he's now using every chance he gets to,
I just
kind of talk behind the lens.
Yeah. I mean,
when I first saw the story, I was, you know, is this still a thing? Like, I haven't heard this brought up in months. Like, Braun hasn't said nothing about it. None of the Braun's people said nothing about it. Like, why? Like, why are we still on this? You know, that was like my whole thing about it. I think in you know, the in that situation, in that scenario, I don't think Stephen A. was in the wrong. Because he has every right to cover a story how he wants to cover it or whatever. He has every right. But LeBron also has a right to pull up on him.
Right.
If he disagrees with it.
Right.
I don't think either party was wrong in that. I hear what you're saying, you know, with Carmelo Anthony. I guess I would only say, like, I would push back on that is if, like, and again, I haven't seen the interview, so I don't know if I'm guessing Carmelo didn't push back at all.
Let me preface that. I didn't see much. I kind of went along with the rest of what people were saying. I didn't really see any. I saw people basically saying the same thing as me.
Right.
Carmelo, if that's your homeboy, how are you letting him get up there and talk about it?
Now, see, if Carmelo, and again, we haven't watched it, so if Carmelo, you know, pushed back, and because again, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, I mean, unless they're not, it's been.
No, LeBron literally.
Very tight. Like,
LeBron literally saved his life.
Like, very tight. Like, they came in together. They won, you know, they've done all this stuff. You know,
their,
like,
wives are friends. Their kids are friends.
Well, ex-wife now, but
oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, like Carmelo knows what happened and what didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows. Like, Bron is this guy. He knows. So, I mean, again, it'd be hard for me to believe that Carmelo invited Stephen A. Smith on this podcast and just said, "All right, Steve, go ahead, say whatever you want about Bron. I'm just gonna sit." But you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he pushed back. If he did it, then yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I thought, like, if you're picking sides, like, it's no question you got to go with Braun here. If you're Carmelo,
sure.
You know, like, there's no question. Like, Stephen A., you cool and all, but, like, it's LeBron, dog. Like, that's my guy.
That's my man. It's fact.
Yeah, like, so I hear you with that.
Yeah, it's a sad situation at this point, honestly, because, excuse me. Like I said, why are we still talking about this?
Yeah, it really shouldn't even be much story.
You know what I'm saying? Like, again, Stephen A. Smith, he chose to cover Bronny, how he chose to cover him. And he had every right to. And LeBron had every right to, at that point, address it.
Facts.
Which is exactly what happened.
You said you were pleading him as a father. He came to you as a father.
Right.
I don't know, man. Like, Bron, he's nearing towards the end. Is everything going to start coming out now about, like, how he doesn't really, you know, rock with the Stephen A. Smiths and the Brian Windhorses and the, I don't know, whoever else his you know, people say his media people are.
I think he like, rocks with who he rocks with. Like, if you look at this offseason, he kind of did that sit down with Pat McAfee, yep. Which was something he doesn't do quite often.
Right.
And I think even that was I saw people kind of being like, oh, why would he pick Pat McAfee? Right on people. Like, they were eating. Stephen A. was right there. Why didn't he give it to
Stephen A. after that?
Go to Stephen A. Someone said, like, oh, he could have gave Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins? Like, what are we talking about?
No, yeah. First of all, why would he go to Stephen A. after all that? Like, that's not happening. That relationship, whatever it was.
The only person I could have been like, ah, I could see you, I would have made it was going maybe to Shannon Sharp for the interview, kind of like that. But
you know who else, too? And to me, she's a dark horse, but I feel like everybody rocks with Malika Andrews.
Yeah, for sure.
Malika and Taylor Rooks. Everybody loves Taylor Rooks.
Yeah, definitely. I so cool. Cool. Like,
I wouldn't have been surprised.
But I wasn't mad at him for not going to anyone.
Yeah. I mean, like, it is what it is. I mean, Braun hasn't said anything, right? You ever heard anything from his people about this?
Came out of saying anything,
I mean, I doubt he will, because...
Yeah.
I mean, look, we saw what happened. Braun stepped to him. We saw.
Yeah, he said what you needed to
be. He did what he needed to do. Everything else was on Stephen A. Smith at this point. So, you know, it is what it is in that regard. But NBA basketball is back.
Yep.
The Bulls, again, y'all know where I'm at. Until we make moves, I just bought 2K last night. I am still on the quest to make the Bulls relevant again.
Lando just said it. Luka needs some help while LeBron is rehabbing. So, fellas, y'all got to step up. DeAndre Ayton, I know they expect more out of you. So, figure it out, man. But before we get on out of here, I am going to Camp Flog Dog, Tyler, the Creator's annual music festival in California for the first time this year. And that kind of prompted the discussion for what we're going to talk about, non-sports related.
When is it?
That is November 15th and 16th. So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we might, that following November, that following week, man, we might drop an episode super late. But I apologize. It is what it is. I got people to see. I got artists to see. So, on that note, you know, for me, going to see Tyler, the Creator, man, that, you know, he's my second favorite artist of all time. And I've wanted to knock him off my concert bucket list for a while. And I'm finally going to be able to. I get to knock off Childish Gambino as well. Excuse me. So, that kind of just wants me, you know, lead me to ask you the question, man, like, who is still on your concert bucket list and who would you like to knock out before you, you know, retire from, you know, your concert going days?
I have a few. I know for a fact I want to see, I wish I could see a kind of reunion performance from Kanye West.
Oh, I wish I could see. He'd have to be a right mind.
Yeah.
He'd have to pretty old Kanye.
Life of Pablo and everything before.
Yeah.
And I'm seated.
I'm there with you.
I want to see Young Thug.
Oh, I got beef with Young Thug right now.
Oh, because his album.
He's just, ever since he got out, he's been like Boy Cry Wolf.
Yeah, he's been, yeah, saying a lot. Just,
and yeah, his album cover is weird. He's white.
Yeah, I don't.
What is that?
Like, I don't really agree with that choice. He's one of my favorite artists, but I don't really agree with that.
Like, what is that, man?
Yeah, for that album cover. But he's definitely on my concert bucket list.
Okay.
And Drake is on my concert bucket list.
Ooh.
I've seen a lot.
You haven't seen Drake? I thought you saw Drake.
I saw Drake with
Future.
No, 21 Savage was there. So actually, I say that because it was then he changed it to Drake and J. Cole, and I have to say J. Cole, not Drake.
Okay,
I've seen Drake.
I thought you said you saw Drake before. I too have seen Drake, but for those of you that know me, they know it was at the Astroworld Catastrophe. Yes, I was there. Yes, Travis Scott is my favorite artist. He still is. That's my guy. I was there. I'll die on that hill. If you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. It is what it is. Sad night all around. Not just any one person's fault. That's okay. So Kanye, old Kanye, Thug, J. Cole.
Actually, I've seen J. Cole. It was only for a couple. I've seen Drake, seen Lil Wayne, and then I saw Chance the Rapper one year, and he randomly just brought out J. Cole because it was during South by Southwest. J. Cole was performing over at like at an actual like venue.
Yeah.
Like by himself.
Yeah.
Chance had a smaller venue.
Drum. I haven't heard from Drum in years.
Yeah, Metro Boomin was doing a set.
I dabbed up Metro Boomin at the first Astroworld Festival, bro. Fun fact.
I can't remember who else performed, but Chance had kind of a whole little set list of people opening up for him. He performed. And then literally at the end, he like left, came back and was like, hey, like, I got a homie here who wants to do a couple songs for y'all. He was performing over at South By.
Yeah.
He just came over and now he wants to do a couple songs. Y'all cool with that? And we were like, y'all cool? I mean, we have been standing all day,
yeah.
Legs tired. And then it was like,
y'all
and then
cool with that?
Out of nowhere, it was like, ding, ding, like this Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah.
Since the Young and Andre, and we went insane. That's
beautiful.
I've seen a pretty good amount of artists, but yeah. So instead of J. Cole, New Edition.
That's right. Oh, wow. Okay, I was not expecting that, but that's a good one.
Okay, so yeah, you got some heavy hitters. You still want to?
I got a list. I'm a list guy. Okay, I'm a type A list guy. So, Childish Gambino, Tyler the Creator. I'm knocking those two off in a few weeks. The Weeknd.
I have J. Cole on there. Here's my thing. I was told that J. Cole is a so-so performer. So I don't know. I mean, you just said like he was pretty solid.
Well, to me, I've heard people say that about a lot of people, and yeah. I personally, it's almost like I'm literally just there. So I'm such of a lyric guy. Like I'm kind of weird. Like I know the words to like so many songs, and like my favorite artist by all of them. And so just me being
that way. Have you seen Wayne? Wayne's like your guy. Have you seen Wayne?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay. Just
like
a shit.
And so it's almost, and I was like all the way in the back. It was just the effect. Being able to be there, see them perform,
yeah,
and rap the songs with them, that's right. Kind of like,
That's your thing.
That's all I even kind of need to be satisfied, because I've heard the same thing about Young Thug. I've actually heard that he's a bad performer. Like, he just kind of gets up there and kind of walks around, but being able to rap like some of his songs word for word with him would be just...
Actually, I've seen Young Thug.
That's kind of the experience. Like, where'd you see him?
At the first Astroworld.
Okay.
Because freaking Trippie Redd, man. I've seen Trippie Redd a couple times, but every time I see Trippie Redd, and I've heard this from other folks too, so I guess it's just a thing for him. He routinely pulls up late.
Oh, yeah.
Man. And then like he does like half his set. But he made up for it because on Young Thug's set, he came out and they did Dark Knight Duo, and I was like, oh my, like, yes. So thank you. But yeah, so J. Cole, he's still up there. Uzi, Lil Uzi Vert.
I saw Uzi. I saw him at Jambalaya one year, and it was a great performance. Yeah. He was all up on the rafters.
Dude, I'm crazy. Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah.
Tame Impala. Shout out to Tame Impala. Just dropped Dead Beat. Pretty good album. Not his best album, but pretty solid album. But Tame Impala, I need to experience Let It Happen live. Like, my soul will go to another stratosphere if I experience that live. This one, it'll never happen, but unless... I probably won't, but for me... Brockhampton, if those boys ever got back together, if Kevin, Amir, Matt, Don,
aren't they from San Marcos?
They're from Texas, yeah. But they're from Austin.
They're from.
Fun fact: they met on a Kanye West like Reddit page or like server, and yeah. But they were all in San Marcos at one point.
Okay,
that's crazy, right?
Yeah, Brockhampton, man, they such a short-lived run. Those guys were fire, all right? Fire, I tell you. If you don't know, go listen to all three Saturation tapes. We never got Puppy. We never got Puppy because the fellas did not want to give Amir a shot. He got into some legal trouble, and they didn't let the legal process play out. They just kicked him, and then it was basically a wrap after that. They dropped Woman Project, and it was a wrap after that, bro. And the crazy thing is, literally ever since then, nobody heard nothing about Amir in those cases.
Dang.
It's like, bro, like, y'all could have just... let this play out, but they didn't. So yeah, I got there in here as an honorable mention, and I have Kanye in here as an honorable mention. Like you said, though, it'd have to be Ye of Sound Mind, old Ye, not this Nazi stuff he got going on.
Right.
None of that. I don't. I love Kanye West. I'll argue with anybody to the depth that he's the best rapper of all time. But I take breaks when I need to take breaks.
For sure.
Like I take hard breaks when I need to take breaks from Kanye West. I also have Rex Orange County on here. I don't know. I'm hearing different information about, you know, him and his legal trouble because he had a case with a girl. Came out that the girl lied, but apparently there's other girls. I don't know. I do not know.
Right.
I do not know.
So, yeah, that's my list.
I'll try to think. Is there anybody else who I didn't mention who I really want to see? I guess see Drake again, but in a, you know, better light, obviously.
You saw him when?
Trav pulled it, brought him out for the Astroworld catastrophe. He was the surprise guy.
So I'll say Drake has probably been the best concert I've been to
Oh, he was good.
Like it was, he performed songs from his whole catalog.
Yeah.
And then just the show aspect of it. He was like using the hologram of like his younger self that he was like rapping with, and it was
Drake
like,
is man. Drake is
like the best, I guess, performer. Like I just say like as a, like he knows how to pull a crowd in. Like he like and even just like not even just performing, right? Just like how he operates.
Yeah.
Like I would give Drake tons of credit. Like that man, he just knows how to pull people in.
For sure.
Like, I'll give him credit for that. But yeah, man, look, those are some of our guys, our artists that we yearn to see. And, what say you? Who are some people you want to knock off your concert bucket list? Are you Team LeBron or Team Stephen A in this beef? Or are you like Lando and you're saying, Carmelo, what are you doing, dog? That's a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And please, please, please like, comment, subscribe,
share,
send it, retweet, all of the above.
Repost, like on TikTok.
All of the above. Please, please, please. We appreciate the downloads y'all be giving us. We're slowly climbing that subscriber count on YouTube, man. We're slowly climbing that subscriber count.
Definitely.
We're at 31, man. We get to 50, we're going to drop something.
For sure.
So keep, spread the word. Keep letting people know. And thank you to all who've been tapping in with us, man. And until next week, peace.
Later.